Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I'm Kojo Benton Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. The Africa Tourism Summit Cafe is a dedicated conversation from the recently held summit at the Sandton Convention Center, Johannesburg, where panelists and speakers have been sharing their experiences of the event. My guests today are four of the panelists who discussed in detail the subject matter of youth inclusion. Meet Kim Witeka, co-founder at Quela Women, Francine Zana, director of Exclusive Hospitality Concept in Port Elizabeth, South Africa, Elvis Silayo, founder of travel agency Look A Day in Tanzania, and Luz Klopes, the founder of Recycling Lab in Namibia. Good evening, and I'm coming to you from the beautiful city of Johannesburg, Sandton Convention Center, where the first Africa's Travel and Tourism Summit has come to an end here. And one of the discussions that we had was on the Youth Roundtable, and it looked at youth inclusion as a driver for sustainable and ethical tourism development in Africa. And I'm very privileged to be joined by the panelists and the moderator, right? You're the moderator, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves. There were supposed to be five, but I have four here, so I'll start with you, Kim.
Thank you so much.
Who you are? Introduce yourself briefly, and then we can go around the table.
Amazing. My name is Kim Witeka. I'm from Cape Town in South Africa. I am an entrepreneur, and I'm also the co-founder of Once Travel and Quela Women, which is an organization that looks at creating safe spaces and access and support to young women so that they might grow professionally and personally as well. And during COVID, I launched a platform called Ubuntu Beds, where we accommodated healthcare workers in empty hotels.
Wow, that's impressive. Nice one. And then we met in Madrid, obviously.
We did.
3-4 years ago?
It was 2019, wow. Beginning of 2019.
How time flies.
Does.
There we go. So, Francine.
Yes.
Tell us more about yourself.
Hi, my name is Francine Zana. I'm from Port Elizabeth, South Africa, from a company called Exclusive Hospitality Concepts. We train and consult within the hospitality industry.
And what's the new name of Port Elizabeth now?
It's Gqeberha.
But why did you say that?
I'm still used to PE.
There you go. Thank you.
And she's actually not sharing how amazing she is. Let's just put that out there. Can I just fluff you up a little bit?
Yeah, it's unfiltered. People want to hear it. People want to relate to it. It's not your three P's. Everything has to be right. People want to listen to it and listen to exactly what is it that we can do to promote inclusion and tourism, and not supposed to be straight to talking to right. I mean, correctness. You know, we like people to express what is it that they feel that we can do.
Yes.
Teaching and
yes.
Yeah. Elvis, let me come to you. All the way from Tanzania.
Yeah. My name is Elvis.
And you're a medical doctor, right?
Yes, I'm a medical doctor by profession. And I'm, of course, I'm a travel enthusiast as well.
Exactly.
So, with that, now I started this company called Look A Day, and the main thing that we're actually doing is like, how can we help travelers find things to do once they've arrived within the destination. But also an interesting thing with that is that we're trying to see how can we try to bundle travel as well as mental and physical health. So basically that is what you're working on right now, and there are some interesting activities that you're trying to curate as from travel perspective, but as well we're using it as a mental health therapy from a medical perspective.
Interesting, you made the point, and when you were asked on the stage, because I thought that during the process of COVID, it was difficult for people, all of us. I couldn't imagine myself not traveling for 2 weeks, let alone 6 months, and what, 9 months. So it's something that
I was interested in, and I hope that you can break into, you know, that specific space, what you're trying to do in Tanzania. All the way from Namibia, tell me.
Hi.
Yes, the land for the brave.
Yes. So I'm Lizette Kloppers.
Okay.
My background, I actually started in architecture, and then my route kind of crossed it with hospitality design. So I got into the eco-sustainable design of lodges, and then eventually it went more into the systems and things in the lodges. And something I got very passionate about is waste management. So how are lodges actually managing their waste? So one of the projects, the company I started is the Recycling Lab in Namibia, that's actually focused on using waste from lodges in rural areas to make new products. So you burn or throw away your waste, which is a valuable resource, and it's something that you can actually use to create an income, because with COVID, so many youth lost their jobs. So I started exploring, like, what do we have available, and how can we use it? And the advantages thereof is it's eliminating air pollution, it's eliminating soil pollution, because those people need to plant, they need to look after themselves. And if they dump and burn the waste where they're trying to plant, nothing's going to grow. And their livestock is dying because they're eating the plastic bags and the other bottles and things that are being blown all over the place. So if youth can tap into that and actually make valuable products from these materials that they just throw away, there's actually a big market for that.
Now, how does it feel seeing people again?
Oh, it's wonderful.
It's so nice to actually
meet people face to face, because we've been in conferences for, what, two years now?
2 years, yeah.
And you know the names and you've been in conversation with people, and then suddenly it's like, oh, it's so nice to actually meet you face to face and have this conversation in more detail. Because online, yeah, you talk for your slot and then it's gone.
Exactly.
You know, even if they have online meeting rooms, nobody uses them. You want to sit around a table and look someone in the eye and actually have a conversation.
Now, it's that point that I begin to get into the subject matter of youth inclusion. And what I saw here, I realized that a lot of young people participated in it, and not just for the optics of it. Now, does it tell you that there's an appetite, or people want to learn in the new tourism world that we are living in now?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Yes. I don't know if you want to add anything on that from your perspective, but I strongly believe that.
Okay. Kim, now I'm sitting in your position earlier this morning, and how practical, okay, sometimes we talk about how we want to get youth inclusion, but from what we're seeing now, how can we practicalize some of the things, ideas that you put out there to let it work from the local level to regional to national? Because often than not, we want to see it in mega, big, macro level.
Yeah.
How do we do that?
Yeah, so we briefly touched on it, that youth inclusion can be seen in two ways, right? The most popular way of defining it is, what is government doing to provide basic services to the youth? And what are they doing to have inclusive conversations that policy is acceptable for the youth? But the other way of seeing it is, like, how do we take away the friction and let youth actually do it for themselves? So Kwela actually means to climb in isiXhosa. And it's the name of our organization because we believe that women are strong enough and deserve to climb. And our role is to teach them how to avoid friction, how to be in safe spaces where they have support, peer support, which is very uncommon in Africa. So on a youth-to-youth level, let's stop with a PhD. Let's stop pulling people down,
exactly.
Pull him down.
Oh,
like,
God.
Let's stop that. So from a peer-to-peer level. Then from a sort of inspiration mentor level, you see young professionals doing really well. Maybe they've faced adversity and they've sort of made it. And then they don't share on social media how they got there. And they'll say things like, the Lord got me here, which is maybe true, like mentally or spiritually, but actually, like, creating a network got you there. Working hard got you there. Getting up at 5 a.m. got you there. Taking risks and failing got you there. Getting up again, failing again. Like, that's actually what got you there. And I think so, more storytelling around, like, what are the physical steps in terms of role models. And then, yeah, I mean, you know, the role the government plays, finally on a macro level, or maybe even pan-African, it's just creating friction.
Point.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, just like
the
reducing
friction. The point that you
friction.
Made on what were the steps, or what are the steps, it ought to be told in the way that people don't get illusions from it. Because the
yes.
people want to show just on social media that I'm here, I'm there, without
yes.
giving the processes.
Yes.
And that whoever
that's
that you are, you encourage somebody.
Yeah,
people exactly. look up to you.
I mean,
so,
I cleaned toilets. When I was 19, I went to Austria. My first job was cleaning toilets. And I was working in a bar. And I was a ski instructor. Like, I had three jobs. I was hustling hard. But, like, literally, through cleaning toilets, I learned about customer service. And I mean, Francine, your story is so similar. And through working in a bar, I learned more about psychology than I did studying psychology at university, right?
Exactly.
And
it's,
so, like,
it's quite interesting, because you're looking from the point of view of responsibility from our side
yes.
as young people,
yeah.
as
yeah.
opposed to always
yeah.
hand out or you know, what is it that is going to be the general thing. Now,
yeah.
Francine, let me come
Can
to
I
you.
Add a bit on the
yeah, sure, definitely.
But,
come,
yeah.
you know,
and I think
we're
you
not
asked me
the
question,
stage.
And I said, like,
yes, it's more cafe.
Yeah, but also to add upon that is that, like, when it comes to youth inclusion, I think, like, at this period of time, in the middle of this pandemic, this is the best time to include youth in the travel and tourism. If you wait for everything to be okay,
mm.
or if you wait for policy, there'll be no chance again for youth.
Yeah.
And why am I saying this? All the people who are already experts within the industries, maybe like our hotel owners or whoever they are, right now the pandemic has made their business actually to actually struggle. In which, with that, for us, it gave us an opportunity, because right now they are open to new business models. But also at the same time, they are humble enough to actually have a conversation with you as a youth
yeah.
to discuss new ideas on how you can help them, you understand?
Yeah.
But before the pandemic, it was actually hard for us. We were working like with Hayat Regency in Dar es Salaam.
Well, we were very conservative.
Before that, it was couldn't be
boys.
Easy. Yeah,
yeah,
you understand?
Yeah, yeah.
So right now, the hotels are not that busy. And of course, this is the time where youth, we should take this opportunity. We should not let it go to waste. Because
yeah.
these guys right now are humble enough to sit in the table with you and plan your roles.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I agree. I agree. I agree. Want to ask something?
Well, I just want to say, I heard something earlier. This amazing woman, Doris, from Rwanda. And
yes.
She said, you know what? If you're looking for a husband or you're looking for a wife, you won't find them if you're staying at home. You've got to go out there and you've got to, you know, you got to dress up.
I love that.
You've got to go to the place where you think you're going to meet the
of
right
course.
People.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, now's the time. Right? Like, if you want to be an entrepreneur, you got to get out there. You got to network. Your network is your net worth.
Yeah.
And now's
I mean,
the time.
There's no honky ride, honky dory ride, or you call it. There's always a process. And people also have to acknowledge and admit that there ought to be some investment from yourself. Not necessarily by, you know, financial, but making the time to acquire knowledge itself. Is now, on the acquire knowledge part of it, that I come to you. But somebody as an educator,
yeah.
you know, in the tourism sector and all of that. How do you see the disconnect? You know, sometimes we talk about youth, young people and all of that, but there's also that other side where people are not putting themselves to learn of what is that they have to. Yes, I know you can go on the internet, etc., but there's a quick, you know, I know how to put it, but people want to make instant hits quick, fast, not understand, not learn. Now, from that side, how do you let people understand that there ought to be a process, education part? People really have to be educated to understand what they are going into.
I think we just need to create more realistic platforms. When you're dealing with youth, you just need to make sure you give them the real content. For so many years, we're dealing with youth that is so illusional, because they think hospitality and tourism is this glamorous sector where you get to travel the world, and that's not true. We just need to make sure that we empower them by creating workshops that are more meaningful and inspiring, and sharing real stories. I just want to
backtrack a bit, or you want
to? No, I just want to share something.
Please share.
In terms of including youth within the tourism
space.
Yeah. For the longest time, I feel that youth has been excluded, because each and every event we go through, it's the same old, same old. We need to change the game. We need to include more youth. We need their voices must be heard, actually, because these are the game changers. If you have us, everything can change. But as for the tourism sector,
yes.
Everyone thinks it's glamorous. No, we need to share realistic content. They need to know the behind the scenes. And we are here to unpack. We are here to unpack. We just want to be included. So that goes back to creating space and platforms for real content. Real content.
Because
we're dealing with real people here. So they need to know. You were sharing just now, I'm not sure if it was a question or what, that we don't get to share the behind the scenes.
No, of course.
Like, they need to know what they're getting
you
into.
You have to tell exactly what your experience was.
Thank you.
What your experiences were.
Yeah.
Instead of something, sure, say it has to go to the back.
Exactly.
You've all done something, you know, something in the bus. You're doing the exact thing. But if people believe that, okay, today now you're on a big stage, so it's instant. They have to see. No, there's a process.
Yes. You know, in sharing real content and real stories, there is power in that.
Yes.
You know, today I was sitting in that session for 15 minutes, but do you know how much, in terms of business, I've made by sharing who I am with the African continent? Because I did not sugarcoat anything. That was me, the real Francine. So I put myself out there. I was vulnerable. Everyone could see. That one was a cleaner. Everyone knows Francine, the cleaner. So we just need to be at a level whereby we share the struggles, the highs, the lows, the wins.
Because it encourages somebody.
It's encouraging
that
somebody. You're touching somebody.
Yeah.
You're changing somebody's life. Like, you know, you need to engage as well. We get to a stage whereby when you're walking into a hotel, they just need to know, I was a cleaner. You're inspiring that person. You're not downgrading yourself. You're already a business person.
Yeah.
You really don't need more than that. Yours is to motivate.
You know,
no, I think that, look, you guys did a wonderful job on the stage.
Thank you.
The things that, you know, you've gone through, and again, what you're doing. I mean, there's one thing of the climate change that, you know, you were talking about.
Yeah.
And what you are telling us that we don't even know, there's a lot of people want to know what their monies are being used for. Even if they're in the hotel.
Yeah.
How do they dispose of their, you know, their waste?
Yeah.
Who gets what? What is it? This is a new way of responsible travel.
Yeah.
And that you don't travel, you travel, respect, enjoy, and enrich the place. You don't destroy, you know, destroy anything. But
and protection.
Exactly. No,
because
right.
Because if we don't try to protect these things, like the way she was saying, the next generation of youth will come and say, like, no places to go, and will say, like, what were you guys doing?
Yeah.
Understand?
I know.
So I think, like, we should take the responsibility right now, because every action we do right now, the next generation, which are going to be our kids or something like that, they are still going to enjoy this.
No, I love the panel that you guys did. And what I know, people say that, okay, we're talking, what is happening? Look, it has to start somewhere.
Yes.
That's the process. Sometimes there's a natural thing for saying that, okay, why we are saying this, we are saying that, we are doing that. But it comes the power from individuals.
Yes.
Also, because sometimes in your own country, you do things that is not being acknowledged. You will have to travel to Ghana to see that Francine is a superstar.
On my own.
That's
true.
Yeah.
That's true. You know what you're saying?
So
it's actually happening.
They will come to you now in your own backyard because of what you've created for yourself.
Mm.
So what I'd like to pick from all of you, 2 minutes each, I'll start from you, Elvis, is that what is your biggest takeout for this event? For this summit? It was good to see everybody. I'm telling you, you have no idea the kind of joy I have.
Yes, of course. For me, I think for this summit and being a newbie, I would say, like, within this travel industry, and just COVID hit. So at that time, you are new with this startup and not understanding the industry, and you don't know, no one you can learn from as well, because people at that time, they've shut their businesses. Understand? So we've tried a lot of things on our own, come up with our own new original ideas. Then we're coming up to this summit. For me, it's just like a validation of whatever we're trying to do. Understand? And it creates that kind of new hope. And something else, it's that, like, that I would say I pick up from this summit, it's for me, I think it has helped me to reframe whatever I'm thinking about this thing. And I'm going back to my country right now with a fresh start,
good,
fresh energy, and
I'm
going to transform this to my team members. You understand?
It was that the journey to reawakening Africa's, spirit, Pan-Africanism, and all of that.
Yeah.
Now, Francine, what would be your take of this conference?
Oh.
You've been telling me we have to do something in my, in my magazine. You want to put an write, for us, etc.
I'm taking away.
I'm saying it's public, so that I have to do it.
Yes, we are doing it. We are actually doing it.
Yeah.
So I'm taking
and
away.
And I offer to give spaces, articles for what you guys did on the stage. You need to send to us because we need to tell the story. We let people to know what you guys have done. And it doesn't just come easy.
You've
invested yourself
before
a government or international agency will invest in you.
So that's
a key message.
I will be short.
Yeah.
What I'm taking away is the power of networking, the
good.
Power of putting yourself out there, the power of meeting in person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Today
it cannot be replaced.
It can never
can
be replaced.
Can you hear me? Can you see me or not?
See you.
Okay.
So with Zoom, I don't think I would have got, like today I'm walking away, I've done an interview for SABC TV, I've done an interview for Radio 2000.
Yeah.
Tell me, if I was doing this via, it was going to be no
opportunity. And that's why somebody called you and said, Francine, we need you to come and do some schooling for the school.
Exactly.
So
and I also have someone from the university. Tell me, if we were doing Zoom, I get confused with those virtual rooms and what. So the power of networking and meeting in person.
And things happen sometimes spontaneously.
I'm telling you.
Without arranging here face-to-face.
I'm telling you.
I know Kim. Okay, Kim, do you know him? Let's connect.
Yeah. Now I'm going to share my story with your people.
Oh, of course.
And there is a power in that.
We have to
I'll
share
be linking. I'm going Africa, guys. I'm going to Africa.
We keep on telling the story that this was a good summit and it may be a benchmarking event for us to start meeting again in a very, adhering to the protocols and the sanitary conditions, because here you saw that people were not asked to sanitize.
No, actually.
It was, people had that. Because we've lived for 18 months of it.
Mm.
You know, I'm not saying that it's seamless, but again, we've adapted. Human beings, like you said, sometimes change is difficult. On the other side, we are incredibly adaptable to things.
Mm-hmm.
Today you are driving a car, you don't like this car. In the next 2-3 days, you're going to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like checking in a hotel, you don't like the room. But after 2 days or 3 days, you don't want to move again to another. When I come to you, Kim, what's your biggest takeout from this conference?
So for me, the focus on youth was really inspiring.
Okay.
And I'm glad that was front and center. I think, it occurred to me that with this huge youth bulge in Africa, it is an imperative for us to really, really grow the sector, because tourism is, as we've heard, like a great, easy entrance into entrepreneurship, into your first job, and then, and I think for the continent, for us to absorb that youth bulge that's coming in the next 100 years, we need to develop, focus on consumers, youth consumers. We need to develop training and a hunger for hospitality, and then we have to meet, build the supply and the demand.
And we need to eliminate artificial bottlenecks of connection, of this facilitation of that.
Yep.
This is the thing.
I mean, what they were saying about, someone mentioned to me on one of the panels, that there needs to be shared values. There needs to be a joint vision across all sectors, and there needs to be, we need to start seeing action.
Yes.
And it needs to be what measures changes. We need to start measuring, what are our targets, and then achieving those. So I think it's been highly inspiring. Really looking for. I met some amazing people.
I listen to amazing people like yourself on the stage.
Yeah.
And what will be your takeout of from this going back to Namibia?
Well, I would say the offstage networking with the rest of the panel. Like, I've learned so much from you guys. Like, we're not, one of us are the same. We completely have different backgrounds. We come out of different industries, all entering into tourism. And there's just so much we can learn with each other. And if you get stuck in your own little bubble, you miss out on so many opportunities to build together. So I think that was really something that was very special to me. it's just, you know, sitting around the breakfast table and just talking, you know, just learning so much from each other and each other's countries. Like, we're making plans, we're going to go visit there, and we're going to go do these activities. And
no, so I think it was a great event personally as well. I met a lot of people that you are meeting again.
Yes.
And the fact that you could feel that people were so happy, I don't know, but you could just feel that.
That
they
energy.
Hug you, but
energy
you could see in their eyes that, you know, it's been up. Ladies, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. And like I said, send us all the things you're doing. We are available to publish it, to give it, you know, amplify the message, and it's through collaboration and partnership that we can get this youth inclusion thing going. It's been a wonderful time here in Johannesburg, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.